Okay, now we're here. It's Friday night. What a wonderful way to start this off. Stupid Discord wants to go down on us and cause all kind of problems. The bots is all messed up. Accounts is messed up and probably got close to over 1 million people trying to log on right now. I bet the gamers ain't happy right now. They're all playing a nice little game shooting aliens and whatever, and all this gets interrupted. You know, it's just so convenient that it happens to happen. I'm not saying because we're Christians, you know, there's very few of us on this major server. But something like this to happen, it's just kind of weird. But, you know, it's discouraging. I got a few folks that we're talking to. They can't get on here. Abby says she can't connect anymore because she runs two different accounts, and both accounts now, for some particular reason, is logging her into the 4G network. You know, I don't know what's going on over there, how she ended up getting two accounts tying in just the one network. That's kind of odd and strange, but anyway, we're going with this. So, to start this off, I'm going to get my water set up and all this, because, you know, like I said, I'm all out of rhythm and all out of, not quite in the spirit, but, you know, if we're going to go different, let's pray so I can get my mindset and try to get focus on this thing. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father, this has been a frustrating thing. There's been things going on today. I'm not complaining, but, you know, it is agitating and frustrating and discouraging that these things is happening. You know, slightly a little fed up with this, you know, and other things that took place during the day, and it's just frustrating, you know, and it's just a hard thing to deal with, but things happen, you know, the internet does go down. On top of this thing going down, my own internet went down, and you know, I just can't, you know, fathom, you know, what else, you know, but I'm just going to try to get my mind focused on you. If I was thinking of anything in anger in my thoughts today with all this going on, please forgive me where I've fallen short of your precious glory. I know the flesh is a horrible thing to deal with, but, you know, again, you know, I don't know, it's just the way things is going on in this world. That's why we need you now more than ever. You know, we really need you in our spirits. We really need you to lift us up. Oh, Father, we need that movement of the Holy Spirit. We need to see a revival in this land because, oh, we definitely need it, you know. And with all this virus thing going on and all these people with their silly news events and news on television, all that, it's just getting to the point you don't want to listen to none of that anymore. It's just frustrating and sickening just to even hear these reports with all these so-called tests and this virus and everything else. It's just, oh, it's just running rampant. But again, you got it under control, and we're just going to have to submit ourselves to you. Again, give us the peace, the calm, and the message, and, you know, and be with us for a short little time. And watch over us tonight. Bless everyone who's here tonight. There's others ain't making it. There's some that's not even coming back on here no more because they done sent me stuff and emails and said they're not coming back to the server. So, you know what? That's just their choice. And fine, whatever it is going to be, just let it be, you know. So we thank you. We love you and praise you. All in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's kind of funny, you know, in light of certain things that's been going on, especially with some people on this chat site. And, you know, and I'm not going to get into much detail, but we've been having a lot going on in the last week and a half. And I'm going to tell you straight up, it's been frustrating, agitating, disgusting. You know, when we sit here and you talk to people who are supposed to be of the Holy Spirit, are supposed to be so-called Christians, you know, acting the way they're acting, doing the things they're doing, you know, going behind, you know, people's backs and causing discord and lies and, you know, and claiming to be a follower of Christ and this and that, you know, it's sickening. It's downright sickening. You know, competition from other sites, you know, the way they're acting and stuff like that, the way people are treating people, whatever, it Lily, you said it right. It's nasty stuff, and I'm about headed with them. It's frustrating. It's agitating, you know, because, again, you know, we're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to be loving each other, not tearing each other up, and not acting like the heathens are acting in the world, and yet I'm appalled and shocked to see these people acting this way. I really am. And they say, oh, I follow Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. And I'm talking about teachers and preachers and so-called people who said they've been born again for so long, and yet they are doing things that's, you know, just harmful to other Christians. Don't they understand what the Word says? Be not a stumbling block to other brothers and sisters? I'm starting to wonder about these folks. I'm starting to wonder about these so-called people on the internet claiming they are Christians, and I don't think they really are, to be honest, but I'm not their judge. And that's why, again, I think it's kind of fitting for this message. Who are you? That should be three words right there we should be asking. Who are you? This, to me, friends, is a straightforward question, and oftentimes people will ask you who you are. And when you ask that question, how do you respond to that question? So when someone asks you, who are you, how do you respond to that question? And the fact remains that some people can't make up their minds who they are. And folks, this is aimed at Christians. This is not for non-believers tonight. This is aimed for Christians today. So-called people claim to be born-again believers. And when you ask them who they are, they seem like they can't make up their minds. I sometimes wonder, I don't think they know who they really are. And see, in some of these we talk to, the folks that I talk to, or what I've been seeing lately, what's been going on, many of them like to adjust to the surrounding conditions like a chameleon. And they change as the surroundings change. So if it goes to red, they go red. If it goes green, they go green. If it goes blue, it goes blue. And that's what they're starting to act like. They're acting like they're a chameleon. They're acting like they want to change the current conditions. And fortunately and unfortunately, some are modernists. They do not want to call sin dirty and righteous white. But all they're doing is classifying it all as pleasing gray. They love to be in the gray areas. They love to call themselves gray. They don't want to call themselves dirty, or they don't want to call themselves righteous and white. They want to be gray. So when you or we are asked, who are you? Are you a real Christian? Or are you one who will change with the world and blend in with them? Are you? Which one are you? See, my brothers and sisters, we as Christian people, we was talking a little bit about this morning about what it means to be born again. But we as born again, I should use that phrase to Christians, because again, the word Christian is so badly watered down, it's pathetic. It really is. It's pathetic. Because everybody loves to water down that word. They love to water down the meaning of Christian. And sometimes that's why I don't even call myself a Christian. I refer to myself as born again. But you know, we as Christians, and you know I'm going to hit on the word Christians for tonight. We as Christian people are supposed to be a different kind of people than what the world thinks. We should be a different kind of people than what the world thinks. We should be separated from the world. Yes, we are in the world, but we should not be part of the world. But yet many are acting like they are part of that world. They're playing the fence line and riding the middle. They're playing it both ways, easy peasy, or they're changing with the conditions. So if you got your Bibles with you tonight, I don't know whether or not the Bible bot's going to work, but if you got your Bible with you, our reading scripture for tonight is 1 Corinthians, I got 1 and 3. Uh-oh. Well, at least she's got it, so, hey, I messed up on my typo here. So anyway, it starts with verse 1, and says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sostis, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I titled this message because we already prayed, but I titled this message, and you're already kind of getting an idea where we're going with this. We're getting an idea is, what kind of people are Christians? And as of late, I've been questioning that. What kind of people are Christians? What kind of people are Christians? And if you was to go out into the streets right now, and my buddy here, he's been preaching on the streets, so he may relate to this, but you might have done it yourself. Okay, we don't need the rest of the verse because that's all we were reading was just three verses for the reading scriptures. But if you was to go out on the streets, or the internet, or into large gatherings, and ask this question, what would be the response? If you ask them what kind of people are Christians, what would be their response? Would they say, or what would they claim to be? Think about that one. What would they say, or what would they claim to be? Now, if we, you and I, who's sitting here tonight, and those who's going to listen to this message, and listen to it carefully, if we claim that we are Christians, if we make that claim that we are Christians, what type of Christian would we be? If I make a claim that I'm a Christian, then you're looking at me, you're probably wondering, okay, what type of Christian is Brother Joe? What type of Christian is Lisa? What type of Christian is Lily? What type of Christian is Rick and Beth and Cortell? Or anybody you ask that, you know, what kind of people are Christians? I guarantee you're going to get a lot of different answers. Because the word Christianity, again today, is not what it really means. So in our message tonight, we're going to look at what we as Christians, you and I, we're going to look at what we as Christians should be. And folks, this was supposed to have been preached last week, but this is something that I've been observing with other Christians, and this is why I led to this message, but other things came up last week and interrupted that, and then because of that, that really hit to the core. Well, this what I was seeing of others claiming to be Christians were not. So tonight we're going to cover what we as Christians should be. The first thing, we as people, as Christians, what we should be, the first thing we should be, we are people with principles. We are people with principles. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, I like to stop there, you know, and I know we're going to run over a little late, but see, I like to stop there and look at that passage. And saying right there, it said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has become. Something must be wrong with that. I think we need to get rid of that passage, don't we? Because when people claim to be Christians, they're still acting like the world. So how can they be a new creation if they still got the old world in them? Because again, that passage right there says that the old has passed away. Shouldn't that be the old, the flesh, the old man in us, the nature? That should be passed away. It shouldn't be alive. It should be dead. It should be put to the grave. It should be no more. But why is it still happening? See, folks, as a Christian is one who becomes, listen to this carefully, a Christian is one who becomes a brand new person on the inside. The Holy Spirit gives them new life. And they are not the same no more. They're not the same person. In fact, my friends, we are not reformed. We are not rehabilitated. We are not re-educated. We are recreated. New creations, brand new. Living in what I call a vital union with Jesus Christ. And at conversion, we do not merely turn over a new leaf. We begin a new life under a new master. And while this newness is truly individually, Paul is saying much more in those passages. Not only are believers changed from within, but a whole new order of creative energy begins with Christ. This is the new covenant, a new perspective, a new body, a new church. All of creation is being renewed. So take notice. This is not superficial change that will quickly be superseded by another novelty. Or as we call it, a fad. A fad today, a fad gone tomorrow, then another fad jumps off. Hop, 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 hop. I think many Christians are bunny hoppers. Because that's what they're doing. They're hopping. They're jumping on one bandwagon to another, to another, to another, to another. Well, apparently, if they're doing that and acting like that, they have not been truly 100% converted, or they have not surrendered fully to the Holy Spirit and is still caving into the flesh. Because again, as I just said earlier, the flesh is dead. We've been recreated, changed, inside, outward. And folks, this is an entirely new order of all creation under Christ's authority. So does your life reflect this new perspective? Do Christian values or Christian values are the principle that the follower of Jesus Christ holds as important? The principles of life that Jesus taught? Christian values don't change over time, my friends, nor do they give in to the challenges of the world sees fit. It doesn't work that way. They are consistent from generation to generation to generation, since their foundation is based and found in God's Word, the Bible. God, my friends, does not change. It is us that's changing. We need to live by that principle if we claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ and put all that other stuff to death. The second thing, when we are asked what kind of people are Christians, the second thing we should be, we are a people with a partnership. And I think some of y'all understand what the word partnership means. It should be equal. Not separated. I recently found that out when I was trying to team up with another site, which I thought was going to be partners. I thought we was going to be equal, sharing all things. Didn't turn out that way. When we are partners with Jesus Christ, it's not me that I'm going to do my little thing, and Jesus, you do your little thing, and let's just put a fence between us. It doesn't work that way. We work together. In harmony, in partnership. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says this. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. See that? For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. And friends, fellowship is the first. I'm going to rephrase that. Fellowship is the first sharing of a common life with each other through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's what fellowship is. We are, we're all individuals with little in common until the Father's calling separates us from everything else in this world. We are individuals with very little in common until the Father's calling separates us from everyone else in this world, and we become part of Christ's body through His Spirit. And in this, we can see that the true Christian fellowship is primarily a relationship rather than an activity. Many Christians today are treating it like an activity instead of a relationship. To summarize what a true Christian fellowship is, relationship, and when you look at these passages, relationship describes that we are a community of people bound together by our common life that we share through our union with Christ. And when you look at the word partnership, partnership describes how we interact within that relationship. We are partners in a calling and an enterprise in which we are to work harmoniously with a shared purpose to achieve mutual objectives to glorify God and do the work of Jesus Christ. We should be working in harmony with a shared purpose with mutual objectives to glorify God instead of ourselves by doing the work of Jesus Christ. And people forget that. They forget it. So what does it mean to be in a partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Paul is telling us here that God's work involves many different individuals with a variety of gifts and abilities. There are no superstars in this task. None. No one person. Only team members performing their own special roles. We're team players. Not one person. Team players doing our own special role that God has given you. And all can become useful members of God's teams by setting aside all of our desires to receive glory for what we do. We must humble ourselves. We must decrease in order for Him to increase. We need to quit trying to glorify ourselves, our appetites, or look at me, look at me, look at me, look what I'm doing. I know how to speak. I know how to do this. I know how to teach. I built this room. I did this. I did that. I done this. That's not a team player. That's selfishness. That's only glorifying yourself and not bringing glory to God. We're team players in this, all together, all for one and none for all, or however you're supposed to say it. See, what we should not be doing, we shouldn't really try to seek the praises that come from people. It's worthless. It gets you nothing. Instead, what we should be doing, we should seek approval from God. That's what we should be doing. The third thing that we as Christian people, what we should be, we are people with persecution. Yes, it is. It happens. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says this. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Wow. And today we see all who are Christians will suffer because of their faith. And while Christian persecution takes many forms, it is defined as any hostility experienced as a result of identification with Jesus Christ and followers of Christianity are targeted for their faith. Yes, they are attacked. They are discriminated against. They are discriminated against at work and at school. Yes, they risk violence. And sometimes in other countries we hear torture and arrest and much more. Some true followers of Christ today in this country are being persecuted for what they stand for. And there are many more reasons why Christians are persecuted. Sometimes religion may be tied to an ethnic or cultural identity. In other places, governments who thrive on power view Jesus as a competition and those who follow him as threats. We see that in some foreign countries today. And still others are put to such a high value on the majority religion that any other faith is seen as something to be rooted out and violently oppressed. And as Paul told Timothy, that people who obey God and live for Christ will be persecuted. Don't be surprised, folks, when people misunderstand you or criticize you or even try to hurt you because of what you believe and how you live. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in serving Jesus Christ. Continue to live as you know that you should. God is the only one you need to please, not men. Because in the end, he's going to take care of all things. He's going to deal with them. Live for him today and live for him now. And the fourth thing that we are as Christians, or what we should be, we are people at peace. There goes my throat. We are people at peace. That's what we are. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this: therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, peace is something that everybody wants. Yet few seem to find. What is peace when you think about it? What is peace? It could be defined as tranquility, harmony, security. Depending on the situation, it could mean prosperity or well-being. It can have many meanings. Our default human condition is to live in opposition of God. That's what we were. We shouldn't be still. We should not be in opposition to God, because when we act like the world and do things of the world, we're opposing God. And you wonder why so many people don't want Christianity? You wonder why so many are turned off by Christianity? When they look at someone or been hurt by someone or whatever, you know, they claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but yet when they look at them, they see them doing something different? Wow. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve, my friends, we are born with a sin nature that attempts to rule over us. It attempts to take control of the mind and to keep us from perfect peace that comes from God alone. Our sin causes us to be at odds with God at times, even deserving punishment. We cannot reach a place of peace with God on our own. We can't do it. We need Jesus for that. We need a Savior. And we need this because this is what Jesus did for us on the cross. The cross, the cross, the cross is where I saw the light. We know that song. And you can't have the peace until you go to the cross and die at the cross. Some people forgot what it means to die at the cross. I don't think they never went to the cross. When we become born again believers, my friends, we now have the peace with God. And make note to this meaning. We are now at peace with God, which may differ from peaceful feelings, such as calmness and tranquility. Yeah. Peace with God means that, hey, we have been reconciled with Him. There's no more hostility between us. No sin blocking our relationship with Him. And those who are called Christians that are still sinning, attacking each other, causing discord, saying lies, being deceitful, being sneaky, being undermining, and doing all those things that God hates, then apparently they are not at peace with God, and apparently their sin is blocking the relationship with God. Apparently they don't want God. You want peace in your life, you get rid of all that nonsense. Get rid of that malarkey. Because peace with God is only possible only because of what Jesus, what He did for us at the cross. What He did for us when He paid that price for our sins through His death at the cross. You see the cross, friends, the cross. And when we are at peace with God, it means we are able to be in a personal relationship with Him. That's what peace means. To be in that personal relationship with Him. We are free from the power of sin. And when we are submitted to Him as the Lord and the source of all we need, then this brings us incredible peace in us and all the affairs of our life. And when we make mistakes, which we do, we can bring them to the Lord, seeking His forgiveness and finding peace anew with Him. That's how we know we have peace. The fifth thing, when someone probably asks you what kind of Christian are you, you should be able to say, we are people with power. Believe it or not, we do have power, all of us. Or I should say, whoever's listening, those of you who are truly following the Holy Spirit, those of you who are truly living the surrendered life, those of you that really meant it and poured out your heart to Him and let Him change you, and then yes, you have power. But those who are superficial, they ain't got nothing. They're just playing Christian. That's all they're doing. But how do we know we got power? Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it says right there, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and look at the last part of that, friends, and to the end of earth. Now who is that applying to? Us. All of us. Everywhere. We should be out there sounding alarm, proclaiming the gospel instead. Repent, 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 for the time is near. We need to be a witness. So if we're playing games, if we're running around like kids, if we're causing discord and lies and doing this and everything else under the sun, then we are not Christians, and therefore we must not even be allowing ourselves to be under the authority of the Holy Spirit. Something's wrong. There must be a disconnect somewhere. There has to be. See, when a person again, we I talked about this a little bit just in the past, and I repeat it, you know, again, because we was talking about it this morning, but this is something we should be thinking about all the time. When a person is born again for real, and I mean for real, and receives the Holy Spirit, we were mentioning that this morning, This is what it means to have that power. This is what it means that the power in us separates us from the world. That's when we are separated from that old sinful nature. It's still in there, yes. But we received something new. As we just read earlier, we became a new creation. You see, all this ties in together. So when we get the new spirit in us, he is the one. If we allow him to do what he's supposed to do, then we change and we are transformed. This is what makes us who we are. It's the power of the Spirit that is God's divine energy and authority released in believers' lives for the sole purpose of righteous living and fruitful service. And you know, we can quote Galatians 5:22-5:25. It's my other favorites a lot. I go through that a lot, but Galatians 5:22-25. So when we walk in the Spirit, what we're really saying, what we're doing, when we walk in the Spirit, we're relying on his strength to accomplish God's will. That's what we're doing when we are walking in the Spirit. We are relying on God to accomplish his will through us. And as a result, this is what happens. And as a result, if you're walking in the Spirit, we, you and I, are experiencing the following benefits. We may get tired, but we won't burn out. We trust God instead of trying to manipulate our circumstances. We may experience distress, but we won't become desperate. We won't become overwhelmed with discouragement or obstacles, knowing that the Spirit within us will enable us to do what he's called us to accomplish. You see, when you are walking in the Spirit, he's going to do mighty things in your life if you allow it. If you allow it. And when we do God's work by his strength and in his way and with his wisdom, oh, friends, let me tell you something. We will be blessed no matter what goes on around us. Walking in Spirit doesn't mean life will be easy. We all know this by a fact. You find me one Christian out there who claims he has no issues, no problems, no heartaches, does not sin. Everything's hunky-dory. Please send him my way. I want to talk to him or her. Because those who claim that are nothing but liars. Everybody has difficulties. Everybody goes through something. Everybody's dealing with something. Everybody. Now, walking in Spirit, like I said, means that life will not be easy. But we never have to walk through it alone. We're never alone because I quoted to the men last night, Jesus himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Because again, my friends, our helper, the Holy Spirit, is always in us. He's always in us. He ain't going to leave you. So when you asked, what kind of people are Christians? Again, the sixth thing should be our response, which you should say. We are people with a purpose. We are a people with a purpose. John chapter 20, verse 21 says this. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father hath sent me, I also send you. Wow. Wow. That says a lot right there. But you asked me, okay, what does this mean, Brother Jim? Okay, I'm glad you asked. What does this mean to those who ask what we are? And what did Jesus tell his disciple in this passage? Well, Jesus again identified himself with his Father. That's what he did. You read it and study it. And he told the disciples by whose authority he did his work. And then he passed the job, if you notice, he passed the job to his disciples of spreading the good news of salvation around the world. I'll pause real quick because, again, those of you who are truly born again and serving the Lord with all of their heart, you are a disciple, whether you know it or not. So why aren't you not acting like it? Whoa, you're kind of rough there, Jill. Well, that's right, I am. If you're making a claim, then why are you acting like something else? But back to this, when he is making disciples of us, and we should be making disciples of others. That should be our common mission among all of us here tonight and those who are listening. We should be making disciples. Talking to people, training them, helping them understand the word, helping them grow. We need to be making disciples so they can be making disciples, because the word needs to get out there. And whatever God has asked you to do, remember this. Two things. Remember this. Whatever God asks you to do, remember two things. The first thing is your authority comes from God. And second, Jesus has demonstrated by words and actions how to accomplish the job he has given you. And as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus sends his followers, and his followers sends followers, and his followers sends more followers, and so-and-so and so-and-so send, and even you. When you do the will or the work of God and the will of God, you are acting in the authority of God. And remember this closely, my friends. And the reason why I'm saying this, because you're flirting with a fine line and you're flirting with disaster when you are claiming to be a follower of Christ, but yet you are acting like the heathens. Because other people see you do the same thing and they do the same thing. And guess what? You're going to stand before Jesus and you're going to have to give an account for that. I don't know what's going to happen. But you better check yourself and get that fear back into you. Because this is our purpose today. This is our purpose. And the last point for tonight, number 7. When someone asks you what kind of people are Christians, and we should be saying something like this: we are people with a promise. All of us here tonight, we're a people or a person with a promise. How do I know? John chapter 14, verse 6 says it right there. And Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's a promise. Those who surrender to Christ has been born again. And those who surrender to Christ will see God one day. But when you look at this and study this and look at the seriousness that I've been talking about, and some of you know that I am serious when I preach, and I am serious when I teach. I'm serious all the time. Sometimes my wife said, "Jim, you need to lighten up a little bit." I look at her like, "Really? I'm just kidding you." I said, "Well, I don't know when you're kidding me or not. I'm serious all the time. Maybe I do need to lighten up. Who knows?" But I'm serious because, again, I am trying to get the truth out. I'm trying to tell people about Jesus, and I'm not trying to sugarcoat this. There's too much sugarcoating going on now as it is. And whenever I've been speaking the truth as of late, guess what? I've been persecuted. No, I've not been beaten. I've not been tortured. I've not been dragged on the streets and tied to a tree and whipped. And I said, okay, no. Okay, you might think, well, Jim, how can you be persecuted? Well, I've been persecuted in other ways by being attacked and slandered. My name's been accused of this and doing that. People in other sites are saying the same thing about me, talking about me. People are running the gossip that they learned from me here in this facility and went somewhere else and told them that. And all of a sudden they blackballed me and calling me all kind of things. Yeah, I'm being persecuted. But I'm not afraid to speak the truth. So if I'm going to speak the truth, you don't like it, then fine, leave. I'm not going to make no excuse of this. And it's hard on me sometimes when I do this. But I know that I have a promise from Christ. And I may be rough. I tried the love thing. And what did it get me? Stepped on, walked over, used, and abused. That changed. But see, folks, this is our main core and very straightforward. We can look forward to eternal life because Jesus has promised it to all who believe in Him. And although the details of eternity are really unknown, I'm still studying on it, and it's still a mystery. We need not fear because Jesus is preparing for us and He will spend eternity with us. We're not going to be separated. This is one of the most basic and important passages in Scriptures. How can we know the ways of God? How can we know the ways of God? Can somebody take a shot at it? Anybody? And if it ain't right, that's okay. I like that. Someone else? Don't be afraid. How can we know the way to God? Only through Jesus Christ. That's how we know the way to God. Jesus is the way because He is both God and man. And by uniting our lives with His, we are united with God, brought together, grafted in. Trust Jesus to take you to the Father, and all the benefits of being God's child will be yours. This is the promise we as Christians have. As the way, Jesus is our path to the Father, the only way. And as the truth, He is the reality of all God's promise. And as the life, He joins His divine life to ours, both now and eternity. Jesus is, in truth, the only living way to the Father. Never repeat this again. As in truth, He is the reality. As in life, He joins us to divine life. And as in truth, He is the only living way to the Father. This is what kind of people who are Christians. Those who have been saved by Jesus, and because of Him, we are different. We are different. We should not be of the world. We should not be like those heathens. We should not be like those sinners. We shouldn't. And if you have been, you better go do a reality check. You better go do a reality check. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. And look what it says right there, plain as day, folks, that you, and you can put your name in between there, that you, whoever your name is, put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Whew. You better copy and paste that and print it out and post it on your wall and read it daily. Why I say that? It's posted on mine. Where I'm forced to look at it every day. I'm not trying to force it, and that should be a bad way of using word, but I look at it and read it every day to remind myself who I am supposed to be. Righteous and holy. That's what I should be. And some Christians today, they give Christianity a bad name. To a point that many Christians these days are really hesitant to own their own label of their faith. Many are. Because of so-called bad Christians, they are hesitant to label their faith. It's not that they are ashamed of Jesus Christ, just of his fan club. That's what they are ashamed of. Again, this is not a new thing. This has been going on for quite a while. A long time. This is something that just didn't happen within the last 10, 15 years. It's gotten worse, yes. But it's been going on. To many, claiming to be Christians is nothing more than a fan club. And like I said, this is not a new thing or old. It isn't so good. And I love this quote right here, and I had to add it, and I added it in today. I love this quote. I don't know how many of y'all know who Gandhi is. I mean, I read up on some of him and some of the things he said. Yeah, okay. Kind of weird, but he made a good quote. When I read that quote, it really shocked me, and sadly it did. And Gandhi famously and sadly said this. And listen to what he said. I like your Christ. I do not like you. I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Wow. Tough statement to swallow, isn't it? Speaks a lot. So why this message tonight? And I thought about this today. And one reason I wanted to point this out to all of us is when a person asks you the question, are you a Christian? And if you were asked that question, what would be your response? Not a quick yes. That's a standard response. You think about that next time you are asked, are you a Christian? Would you be honest in your response? And will they see Jesus in you? Would they? Because as Gandhi just pointed out in that quote, those of us who are Christians are not acting like it towards others. I just recently learned all this last week and a half, and devastated by it once again. Yes, I am devastated by it. It hurts. I trusted people. Said all the right things. Did all the right things. flatter me with their words. I was happy. Wow, we got some nice Christians here. Wow, look at the room. Glorifying God. But in reality, they were not acting like it towards others. It's time, folks. It is now time. It's now time that we all change that image. It's time for that image to change. It's time we learn what it means to return to the holiness of God. We need to learn what that means. We need to learn what it means to return to the holiness of God as it should be. And by knowing what we learned in this lesson, if you didn't get it all, please go back and listen to it. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. I do re-listen to my messages, and a lot of times I'm remaking notes. But by knowing what we have just learned tonight, we should be able to tell them who we are without no hesitation, and we can do so with the help of His Holy Spirit. This is what makes us. This is what separates us from the world. This is what sets us apart from them. This is what we are, followers of Jesus Christ. And as the title of this message said, what kind of people are Christians? Well, my friends, Christians are the one that's real and live in truth and demonstrate who Jesus really was. That's a real Christian. That's a true blue, born again believer. Are you one of them? Are you? Those of you who's listening to this message, I ain't going to see your face or name, but you listen to this message and you pay attention to what I say and listen to the words. Are you for real? I encourage you to examine your heart and see if you are the real deal or not. And last but not least, because as Jesus said, and this is really a last minute add-on, but it was a shocker when I saw it this morning. As Jesus said this, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. Let's hope you're not dead. Let's hope you're not dead, but alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray.